When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Show them what time it is!
The game is over and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
All right, let's get to it. And lots to get to on this one, obviously, including... what in the world happened in this game for the Green Bay Packers? Now, I'm going to give you the phone number. I'm going to let you all have your takes on what went wrong for the Packers tonight, because I have several on what went wrong for the Packers tonight as well. Nicolay Law, fan, talking text line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. 1250 is the number. Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. He will take your calls, and I look forward to hearing what you all have to say tonight on this one, because in the first half of the game, when we went to overtime, I had said, hey, do you think the Packers can, you know, score some points here, come back, do something with it? And almost all of you but one person pretty much said no. It's not happening. One of y'all said, yeah, they hired bad coaches. Another one of y'all said, I knew Jordan Love was a bum. That's the problem. All of this nonsense is what I had to deal with on my Twitter account when I asked that question at halftime. And they did not win the game. So from that perspective, those of you that were super negative at halftime come out looking correct. Which is fine. However, Jordan Love is not a bum. Jordan Love does not suck. Jordan Love is going to be just fine. And I am not worried about Jordan Love. Did Jordan Love maybe not look the greatest in the first half of this game? No, Jordan Love didn't. You want to know who else didn't look the greatest in the first half of this football game? The Packers offensive line did not look the greatest in the first half of this football game either. That's somebody else that didn't look great in the first half of this football game. Christian Watson fumbling a football. That didn't help things. Stupid, dumb penalties like Quay Walker. That didn't help things either. Overall, they didn't play a great first half. The first drive of this game, you don't run the football. I was besides myself at the fact you weren't running the football on the first drive of this game. Besides myself, the Lions got the ball. Down the field we go. You come back knowing darn right well their defense should be, based on all the injuries they have in the front seven, susceptible to the run. We talked about it with Jeff Rieger from The Ticket today on Wisconsin Sports Daily in the last segment of the show from the 18th annual Fan Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robinson's at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Tomorrow, by the way, the last day to donate. So make sure to get out there, donate your toys, your cash donations, all that stuff. If you can't make it tomorrow, go online right now. You can go online right now and donate at thefanmilwaukee.com. And he said the same thing. This banged up as they are up front, Packers should be able to run the football. And then what happened? Second quarter. And mysteriously, Matt LaFleur decided to start running the football. And they started to move the football. And the ground game was effective. And it started to work. And again, passing game ineffective. Why? Because the offensive line stunk. And Love missed a couple of throws. Like, he had Tucker Kraft for the one touchdown. And he threw it wide right. Like, that one wasn't even close. That one, yes, that was on Jordan Love. No question. Right? That was a physical mistake. Now, unless I missed something in this football game, I don't believe Jordan Love threw one that was nearly intercepted at any point. Am I forgetting one? Because I don't believe it ever touched the DB's hands at any point. Tommy, am I forgetting one? Or was he clean all day?
He was relatively clean. The pass interference kind of bailed him out. It was obviously pass interference, but he threw it before it was on that one in the end zone.
True. Yep. But again, for the most part, he was fine. Early on in the game, when he was kind of getting tossed, he threw it up in the air, and I cringed. And thankfully, it wasn't near anybody to catch the ball. But outside of that, I was relatively happy. He wasn't forcing the ball in a double and triple coverage. He wasn't winging the ball as he was getting tossed to the ground. They needed a touchdown at one point there in the fourth quarter instead of a field goal, and he took off running. He had a receiver, Bo Melton, running in the back of the end zone from left to right as he was rolling right. And could he have thrown it? Should he have thrown it? Yeah, probably. But at that point, he was running for his life, going on the right side and gets sacked. And I told Tommy Wirtz, I said, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'd rather have you do that than throw it back across your body trying to make a play happen, and then you don't even get an opportunity to tie it or give your defense a chance to go out there and possibly stop him. Now, having said all that, I had little no faith that this defense was going to stop them when they got the ball back. At about the 450 mark or so, I turned to Tommy and said, this is not good. Like, they're going to have way too much time on this clock when they get this ball back. Way too much time. And Tommy Wirtz and I both agreed, they better get seven. They better get seven, because if they don't, they're going to be in trouble. And that's exactly what happened. But considering how bad the first half was, wasn't the second half much better? Offensively and just defensively and everything else, they finally started to blitz a little bit more. And don't forget about the injuries. Evan Williams left with a concussion. John Bullard, according to John Kuhn on the broadcast, left with a lower leg injury on a cart. So that's not good going forward for Javon Bullard. We'll see what that turns out to be later. And I already know Matt LaFleur. I don't know. I haven't talked to the doctors. I don't know what's going on. So I already know what I'm going to get in the press conference. So you lose both of your young safeties in this game, and you're playing them out, both of them. Zane Anderson gets some run out there today for the Green Bay Packers. They get a turnover. They get an interception. We said that on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's as well as this afternoon. He's going to give you a chance or two to make a play. Make it. And they did. They got one.
I mean, maybe two if you count the turnover on downs where it was, right. Too.
Yes. And that will be the reason why the Lions will not win a Super Bowl, is idiocy like that by their head coach, doing stupid crap like that. And if you think he ain't going to pull that crap in a Super Bowl, you're wrong. I guarantee you that man is going to do dumb stuff like that in a Super Bowl. I can but promise you he's going to do it. And you can call it arrogance, you can call it overconfidence, whatever. But that's who he is. They used to call Ron Rivera the riverboat gambler. That nickname fits for this guy too. It's no different. Now, he's got an amazing offense. He's got a quarterback that's playing well, Jared Goff. So I get all the confidence. But when your defense is as banged up as they are, there's just no chance. On my side of the field, if I'm my own 30, I'm doing that. No. And I guarantee you the players love it, right? Fires the guys up. Even if they don't get it, the defense is like, all right, man, let's go stop them. We had faith in our offense. Now let's go get the ball back and pay this one off. So many things. Nicolay Law, fan talk and text line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Broadcasting live. live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Mr. Tommy Wirtz, your thoughts?
You know, I think I'm going to take a little bit more of a positive approach to this game for the future, right? There's plenty to be upset about, especially when you look at the first half. Really, the second half is all highlighted by the first 4 minutes of the second half and how awesome Green Bay looked. I think that this is a game where you can feel much better about the Packers competing at the top of the NFL. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFL.
I think everybody agrees with that.
I think that I'm feeling very good about the Packers being competitive in every football game that they are going to have to play come January, possibly later.
The Green Bay Packers should have, could have won both of these games against the Lions.
This one more so than the last one, for sure.
Sure, but the Lions didn't run away and hide necessarily and blow these guys out either time. The Lions were up by more the first time they played them at halftime than they were the second time they played them. The Vikings were up by significantly more on the Packers at halftime of that game that the Packers try to make a rally back at and try and get back into. My point is this. The old saying always is told to me by former players, very hard to beat somebody three times in 1 year. Very, very hard to beat somebody three times. And both of these games, while they were losses, they weren't convincing necessarily losses. I think if you're the Packers, and yes, this stinks, and yes, I'm not happy about it, and yes, you're not happy about it as a Packer fan, and I get it, and they're not happy in that locker room, difference ain't that much.
They have to find a way.
If they get to go to Detroit in the playoffs, I don't go into that game going, there's no chance they're beating them. Like when we faced the Niners at towards the end of Rodgers' career, I was like, no, they're not winning. Just every time, it's not happening. That's just where I was by the end of Rodgers. Like, they're just not beating them in the playoffs. I don't care what the situation is. They can't beat them. I do not feel that way about this Lions team.
I think that's a very fair statement. I completely understand the feeling you're going through. What they have to do with this Lions team, the Lions are very good at keeping the Packers just off the field when they are on offense. And that is something that Green Bay has to find a way to counteract and do the same to them. I mean, really where this game was won and lost was third and fourth down, I think, personally, today. The Packers went 1 for 5 on third down today, didn't go for it on fourth at all. The Lions went 11 for 20 on third and fourth down today, including 4 for 5 on fourth down, which one of them was that turnover on the 30-yard line or 31-yard line, wherever it was, where Green Bay was able to score. They couldn't get them off the field when they needed to in big situations. I mean, you had them at 15 different third downs. That's a lot of opportunities to get them off the field.
Yep.
You cannot have that at 50%.
I like Jeff Hafley. I enjoy listening to his pressers. If you listen to Wisconsin Sports Daily, we play him from time to time. I'd rather listen to him than Matt LaFleur, if we're being honest. But I really struggle with his early game decision-making on defense. I really do. I feel like every first quarter of every game, and earlier on in the year, it was every first half of every game, he just didn't want to blitz. He didn't want to pressure anybody. We're going to bring four, and we're just going to see what happens. That's how this is going to be. Now, tonight, he adjusted quicker, and we got to the second quarter, and he started bringing a little bit more pressure, but he really didn't get super aggressive, I don't think, really, until the fourth quarter, Tommy.
No, and Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't really a factor until the last few drives of the game as well.
Because he was covered or because that's what the game plan said? That's what I would like to know. And those that watch the All-22, like Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Radio tomorrow morning from 8 to 9, he'll be talking about it, I'm sure, because he won't. I don't think he'll have the All-22 tonight. Or will he? Will he have the All-22 tonight?
If anyone's
got it. I think
it's
Tuesday.
Andy will, if anyone's got it.
Yeah, so I think it's normally on a Sunday game. When does it come? Monday or Tuesday, something like that? Either way. So listen to Andy Herman tomorrow morning. The Mason Crosby, Mitch Nellis after that, 9 to 11. And then we'll be back out at the Toy Drive tomorrow, 2 to 5. Brewers general manager will be out there with us tomorrow from 3 to 3:30. Looking forward to that. I want to go back to something here. First of all, if he was covered, St. Brown, who was covering him consistently and doing their job? Because they deserve credit if he was being shut down because of that. If that really wasn't the case and he was kind of a decoy and they were trying to get everybody else kind of going first, to a degree, you can call that stupidity as well, because you don't do that to Davante Adams. You don't do that to Justin Jefferson. You don't do that to Jerry Rice and any of these other elite receivers. You get them the ball as often as you can during the course of a game and let them go. That's why I feel like that part of this might be that maybe they just had him covered. Maybe they had a DB under and a safety over the top, and they just kind of said, no, we're not going to let you have him beat us deep. You want to know the other thing that does not happen against this team? They don't give up 50-yard throws. It just does not happen against this defense.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, well, that's what happens when you don't blitz, because you're playing so much zone with everybody in front of you, and you're not going to allow anybody to get behind you. That is the one thing you can definitely say about Halfley's defense. If you're going to score the ball on them, you're going to have to methodically move the ball down the field on them, running and throwing. It's going to have to be longer drives. And if you can do that, they tip their head and they go, fine, you got us. We'll live to fight another day. But you're not going to get a bunch of big-time throws down the field. And Christian Watson, another big play today. That stuff just doesn't happen against the Packers' defense, Tommy.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I even said on the first drive, texting with Mason and Mitch, I mean, this offense is death by a thousand cuts with the Detroit Lions. They moved the ball very well on the first drive. And I don't know. I think it's tough to say what was the game plan, right? I mean, Goff had six different guys get five or more catches in this game. They just went all over the field. And, I mean, Tim Patrick had to be the last guy on anyone's radar on who's going to make an impact in this game. You got to get, I think that we've said it all season with Halfley. He's okay with giving up medium plays all the time. He's willing to wait it out. It's just that Detroit is so eager for those medium plays. They have so many weapons that they just want to get the ball in their hands, see what they do with it after. They have the best running back tandem in the NFL. They have one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. They have Jameson Williams, who's faster than anyone else on the field. This is a team that's going to do that if you give them those opportunities. And Halfley got his bluff called today, I think, on it, because they dominated. They ran 30 more plays than the Packers, had the ball for like 10 more minutes than them. It's exactly what Detroit wanted to do to come out with a victory, and they are able to squeak by again. But I think that the Packers' offense really stood out today, because there's been games against Detroit over the last few seasons where you see that Aaron Glenn kind of figures them out. And Green Bay, they saw an opportunity, and they went for it, and they stepped on their neck when they could. The defense just lets them down in the end, and the offense didn't get started early enough.
That's correct. That first quarter was a waste of everybody's time. It was a waste of the defensive time. It was a waste of the offensive time. And the defense finally started getting going there on the second quarter. Just how much different, though, is this football game, again, if they don't give up that score at the end of the half, man? Like, if that game is 13-7 at half, that's a field goal instead of seven. How much better do you feel if you're the Packers going in? And then for the Packers to score, what, 14 quick points, just boom, boom. Again, thanks to Dan Campbell for being a moron. I mean, all of a sudden, you're in position. You're like, okay, here we go. You get a score, you get a Goff interception, and all of a sudden, you're rolling again. It really is something that I really just don't know if they can overcome Dan Campbell when this whole thing is said and done. And I don't think you can say that about Matt LaFleur as a Packer fan. I don't think you can look at it and go, boy, Matt LaFleur screws them so often by making dumb decisions. And I know some of y'all don't like him, but we've done postgame shows all year. How many times have you or I said Matt LaFleur lost the game?
Never. I don't think we've definitely questioned that. We did have was it Jacksonville, where it was like he was trying to lose that game at the end of it? I can't remember which one it was, but he's absolutely the reason why they're in this position right now. He's a top five coach in the NFL, I think. And you know how much was the challenge a bad challenge? I don't think that one was, like, it wasn't like, hey, throw the flag, but I understand why there wasn't enough to overturn it today. I think he does that every once in a while where you're like, what the heck? And really, I guess it doesn't really matter, but having that third time out at the end and getting the play in would have probably been pretty helpful at the end of the game too, to at least give you a little more motivation on the defensive side. But no, I can't. You can't say Matt LaFleur is any reason why. I mean, he calls the plays. They put up 31 points on the Lions today. What more do you want?
Packers come up on the losing end, 34-31 to the Detroit Lions tonight. We need to go inside the box score coming up here. We'll look at Jordan Love's numbers. We'll look at Josh Jacobs. I think a lot of people thought Josh Jacobs should have 20, 25 touches at least in this game to really utilize his strengths and do what he does. Josh Jacobs didn't have a target out of the backfield today. Not a single target ball was thrown to Josh Jacobs in this football game. I am very, very surprised by that. So we'll dive into the box score coming up. If you want to jump aboard, plenty of time for you. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. We'll hear from Jordan Love in Detroit. All of that still to come. Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. And if you're looking for a new career, looking for a new gig, this is the time of year. I don't know about y'all, but this is the time of the year when I feel like while everybody is donating to different charities and doing things and doing their good deeds for the year, like you should be doing for our toy drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest by going online and donating now if you haven't already at thefanmilwaukee.com. This is also the time of year with the holidays coming up, Tommy Wirtz, where you're padding your wallet and your pants. You're like, man, I wish I had more extra spending money, man. I wish I could do more. And that's when kind of when people start, I think, start perusing, looking for other gigs. Maybe you'll have a new job in the new year. Maybe I'll change career paths. Maybe I'll do something. I got you right here. Young Express, man. You're going to drive for a living. That's going to be your career. You're going to drive, right?
Easy.
Looking for people who have Sprinter vans or cargo vans. Looking for full-time independent contractors. Full-time independent contractors. You're going to drive within 250 miles of Milwaukee. So locally, right? Those are the guys and girls that they're looking for. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. Either work. Now, why Young Express? Well, you're going from point A to point B, picking stuff up, dropping freight off. 99% no-touch freight. Freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is worry about driving. And a 24/7 dispatch team with over 700 direct customers. When you're moving, you're making money. If you're not moving, you're not making money. With this dispatch team, they're extremely dedicated and take it very personally to keep drivers moving. Young Express, baby. That is the way to go. Join them today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Sparky with you.
Let's go inside the box score. Built by Steelwind Industries, a family-owned and operated heavy-duty fabrication facility located in Oak Creek. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Crazy Takes, Tommy Wirtz, Other Side of the Glass. Hey, if you missed the David Bakhtiari interview, did they miss something good, Tommy Wirtz?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's David Bakhtiari. He's a character, man.
Love David Bakhtiari. Go back, listen to it on your Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. He joined Mason Crosby and Mitch Nellis earlier today. You can also check it out at thefanmilwaukee.com. You heard the sponsor of our Inside the Box segment is who I like to call the guardian angels of our toy drive, Steelwind Industries. Thanks so much again to them for sponsoring a day and making a real nice size, really big size, I don't know how you want to call it, but big size toy donation went inside shopping for toys.
Generous.
Generous.
Very, very generous.
Generous, yes.
Yeah.
But again, the Guardian Angel mantra definitely fits for what they do for our toy drive and for what they do for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest and all of that. And again, tomorrow, last day of the toy drive, so make sure to get to Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek. Drop off a toy or toys, cash donation, or you can donate online at thefanmilwaukee.com. Packers lose to the Detroit Lions tonight. It was nothing spectacular necessarily. 34-31. They didn't get beat by 10. They didn't get beat by 21, right? It wasn't a complete butt whooping. Now, I'll be honest, when that first half ended, I was like, something better change here. Otherwise, this is going to get out of hand here quickly. And that's why I tweeted out, like, hey, does anybody else? I mean, you think they can come back and score and come back and win this thing, or how are they going to do it? And a lot of negativity, like always. A lot of people that don't like Jordan Love, bashing Jordan Love immediately as soon as you put out a question. Those people then go silent as soon as Jordan Love does something good. You don't see the positive reactions from them at all. Taking your calls, talking about this Packers game and a loss for the Green Bay Packers. Only their fourth loss of the season, which again, in the grand scheme of things, still pretty good. Still pretty good at this point, being 9-4, even with the loss. Let's go inside the box score. Jordan Love, 12 of 20, 206 yards, one touchdown, a quarterback rating of 111.7. I ask you, Tommy Wirtz, should he have taken more than 20 pass attempts in this ballgame? Would it have put them in a better situation to win the ballgame if he had winged it more around the field?
I didn't feel that on any play that he ran. It was a dumb decision to run, so I will say no. I don't think so, because, hey, we talked about it too. We want Josh Jacobs to get the ball 20 times a game, right? He only had 18. They ran 45 plays today, Sparky. I mean,
it's not enough.
They didn't have enough plays to get everyone the ball if we want to say, hey, he needs the ball this many times. He needs the ball this many times. He needs the ball this many times. They didn't have enough plays. Detroit did a great job. They didn't have long. One of their touchdown drives started at the 30-yard line. Another one, a huge play to Christian Watson. So, no, I don't think that there was any plays in the game where I thought, hey, Love, why are you running? So I think that it just is what it is. It's the cards they got dealt.
I said earlier today on Wisconsin Sports Daily that I thought there were going to be a couple design runs here for Jordan Love. You know, that is something they have not really utilized or used at all to this point with Love. You know, they've done it with Malik Willis. Matt LaFleur has shown he can draw it up and make it effective. And I'm just waiting for this to be a thing for Jordan Love. Ugh. In one of these games where he's going to get four or five runs in a game. Because once that happens, and if he's successful, you have to play differently as a defense.
Do you think
automatically you have to play differently? He had that, 12, 14-yard scamper for that first down up the left sidelines. He's got the athleticism to take advantage of this if that's something that they decide that they want to do. No, he's not as quick as Malik Willis or anything like that, but he can still get the job done, I think.
I think his athleticism reminds me of like a prime Aaron Rodgers athleticism.
Sure, fine.
And they didn't draw plays for him to run.
Nope.
But I do think that he scampers very well, and Aaron Rodgers did the same thing. When he needed to scramble, he was good at that. But
this is the thing of why it comes up, if we're being honest, why I'm being honest. You didn't really think about it with Rodgers and Favre, but when you see what LaFleur is able to do with Malik Willis and how it changes things a little bit, that's what got me into thinking about, well, wait a second here. Now, I know he ain't going to run 40 yards like Malik Willis could possibly on a run, but it changes how a defense plays you. Even if he runs, 7 to 10 yards every time they design it, it's still something they got to then start game planning for and being concerned about going forward.
Maybe, sure. But I think they have such a deep running back room that they don't even want to think about running with Jordan Love. You just paid him more than anyone else.
You don't want to get him hurt.
Right. And no one was a bigger fan of the 7-yard Emmanuel Wilson run today because it looked like he was stopped short.
Yep.
And then he just chugged through it and got the first down.
One carry.
It was the only carry he got today.
Yep.
And I can't believe it because just, give everyone a little bit of a breather on it. He's worth 3, 4, 5 carries a game. He absolutely is. It's not the reason why they lost by any means. So just preaching to the choir here. But I was so pumped for it. I was ready to talk about it all day just because he's my guy.
He is your guy, and you've been a supporter of him all year long. No question about that. But Josh Jacobs, even though he only had 18 runs, they were meaningful.
Jacobs in there. Touchdown, Green Bay, and they have the lead again. Followed Myers and Jenkins, the center, and the left guard. And back and forth, we continue to go.
Three touchdowns on the day. That made it 28-24, Green Bay Packers. Tommy's over here bashing Al Michaels while the game is going. Man, he just doesn't show any type of emotion. Ah!
You need to play the first Josh Jacobs touchdown.
All right.
Because that one is maybe the worst touchdown call I have ever heard on an NFL broadcast.
All right,
ever.
Here we go. All right, this is the first one.
First and goal. Can he get into the end zone? Yes, he can. Jacobs to the touchdown. Not the prettiest drive you've ever seen.
No.
But very effective. 10 runs, 2 passes. You don't see that very often on a 12-play drive.
What's the problem?
Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Does nothing for me. I'm not looking for insight out of my broadcasters.
You want Gus Johnson? What do you want?
Well, I don't need a Maserati Marv call there, but it was the first touchdown the Packers put up.
Is he any more excited for the Lions?
No. I think so Al Michaels think is
playing,
no.
You don't think he was playing favors, like, you know.
No.
Oh,
no.
He liked Detroit more, so he screwed the Packers on the call.
I think he's really fallen off. That's where I'm at with it. Yeah.
So the do you believe in miracle call that he had back in the day for the on that play for the Packers, you don't think that type of play call would ever happen now because he's past his prime?
No, he's just way too full of steak and mashed potatoes or whatever he eats now.
I wish I
during
was right
the show.
Now. I'm hungry.
He's way too lethargic now. I think he holds back Herb Street.
Holds back Herb Street?
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
I'm telling you, I think Herb Street would get a little more excited if Al had any energy.
They both just got paid, so I don't think that's changing. And again, Amazon Prime, we watch it on Fox 6 here, so we'll give them both credit for that one. So Jacobs, 18 for 66, three touchdowns. Jordan Love, 4 for 23. Emmanuel Wilson, 1 for 7. Chris Brooks, 1 for 3. My confidence today and confident concern and curious was 150 or more for the Packers. They were 51 yards short of getting to 150, so that did not work out. Christian Watson, 4 catches, 114 yards on the day, 7 targets, plus he had the fumble. Dontavian Wicks, I brought this up today to Charlie, saying maybe Wicks finally has that game like he had in the second half last year. Second half last year, he looked like he could be the future one on this Packers football team. And the first half of this season, he looked like he might even be on the football team by the time we get to next season. And finally, Wicks starts coming back around here today. 4 catches, 49 yards. Tucker Kraft, 3 for 41 and a score. Ben Sims, 1 for 2 yards. That was late. And then defensively, well, we'll wait for the defense. We'll get into the defense on the other side of another quick timeout. Matt LaFleur has talked. Jordan Love has talked. We will get to all of them. Don't forget the Nicolay Law fan talk and text line. Tell me, are you mad? Are you furious? I'm not furious. I'm not mad. Like, we knew there was a chance they could lose this game. I thought there was a good chance they could win this game convincingly because of that Lions defense. But having said all of that, considering how bad the first half was offensively to how much better it looked in the second half, the defensive adjustments that they made to a certain degree as far as bringing a little bit more pressure and blitzes and stuff, I'm not mad. I still feel confident if they get this team in the playoffs, Packers can beat this team. I'm no different now than I was before this game started at this point. Maybe you are. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Lions over the Packers, 34-31. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
All right, 34-31. Packers go down to the Detroit Lions tonight. They're now 9-4. Lions now 12-1. I said it to begin the show, and I'll say it again. That Lions team isn't winning jack crap if Dan Campbell doesn't learn how to control himself on fourth down. Going for it on fourth down at your own 30. Now, it's a regular season game. Fine. You do that dumb stuff in the playoffs or in a Super Bowl, that fan base is going to lose their mind if that's the reason they lose a game because you can't control yourself in those situations.
Can you imagine if Goff didn't hand the ball off when he fell
when
over
he fell
on
down.
The last drive?
How about that one play where Kyle Brooks damn near took the handoff from Jared Goff?
Yes.
I mean, how do you not even... Nobody touched him.
Right.
Like, he blew straight through. And he had a hand on the running back going by him in the ball a little bit, and then he obviously got a field a couple of yards. But, yeah, I mean, Goff tripped, literally fell down, and still got that handoff. If he misses it, that ends up being a fumble or something like that, and that play gets stopped on downs. That's another boneheaded decision.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is hearing
when
it.
When he should have kicked
everyone.
The field goal to begin with.
Yes.
Either way, like I said, I think he's a great motivator of people. I think he is a great leader from that perspective. Like, everybody buys into this dude, and everybody loves him in the locker room. But that type of stuff, man, you can absolutely lose all belief in everything else by making dumb decisions that seem rudimentary for every other person on the face of the earth other than him in a football game. So we'll see how it plays out. But either way, getting a lot of reaction coming in here on social media after a Packers loss 34-31. You can tweet at us as well at the Fan Milwaukee or at Sparky Radio. Either one of those work. And you also can dial it up, Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Big Lahatsky? I don't know, something like that. Got to play four quarters. Packers have had plenty of good second halves this year against the better teams. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you can just go back and look at first halves in these other games where they lost. Zach Cruz tweeted this out earlier. They were down 28-7 against Minnesota in that game. They were down 17-3 against Detroit the first time they played them. And now tonight, they were down 17-7 at Detroit. So yes, that's absolutely a thing as far as having to do better in the first half. And speaking of that, Rob Domofsky tweeted this out during the game too. Jordan Love was 3-for-7 passing for 31 yards in the first half. His fewest yards in a first half in his career, according to ESPN Stats Info. How about this? Love was pressured in the first half on 6 of 10 dropbacks in the first half. The 60% pressure rate, highest faced in the first half of his career as well. He was just 1-for-3 for 20 yards with a sack and a scramble for 8 yards under duress in those scenarios. I did not think that they would be able to get as much pressure as they did on Jordan Love. I knew Za'Darius Smith was going to be a guy, right? I mean, I think we all assumed he was going to get up for this game. He's crawling on the ground with his army crawl or whatever the heck that was after he got Jordan Love initially. By the way, how does he hit Jordan Love in the helmet and there's no flag?
There was a couple plays today where...
How was that not a flag?
That was really bad.
That was
first
a third
drive
down
too.
Play, too.
Yep, first drive of the game.
Again, you don't want to sit here and blame referees one way or the other, but if we're going to look at this objectively, I think the Packers got screwed more than the Lions did with bad calls in this game.
Between that, the pick play on Christian Watson and the not push off on Amon-Ra on the last drive, I mean...
That was a blatant push up.
There was a few of them today where those go the other way. The game's interesting.
Well, the game was interesting anyhow.
Right.
I mean, it still came down to a field goal at the end to win it. It was a chip shot, but it still came down to a field goal at the end of the game, regardless of which way you want to look at it. Okay, some more tweets that were coming in as well. Mick tweets at Sparky Radio, "We can't win a championship with this defense. It's really just that simple," says Mick, tweeting in. Okay. So... I don't know how you, Mick, or others justify what is a good defense, what is a bad defense, what is a Super Bowl caliber defense, right? So do you justify defenses by just numbers? Like points allowed, that's your metric you use to justify how good a defense is. Yards allowed, maybe that's your metric. Maybe you have other metrics that you look like, advanced stats. DVOA, right? That's another one that everybody likes to look at.
No one knows what it means.
I know that. But I'm just saying, but that's another one that people point to. And then others will just say, I don't look at numbers. I don't care about numbers. I just know what I'm seeing with my eyes, and I don't think they're good enough. Now, Mick, I don't know if you tweeting in, I don't know what you use, right? But I'll tell you this. My eyes tell me that this defense is better than Joe Barry's defense. My eyes tell me they've got more playmakers on this defense than they did prior. Now, Evan Williams' concussion, don't know, right? Javon Bullard, John Kuhn earlier said, and I've not heard LaFleur yet, we'll get to that, said lower leg injury and they're carting him off, so that's not good for Javon Bullard's future. Jaire Alexander, remember, did not play in this game. Did not play. Thank God he didn't play because I didn't want him to play. I wanted him to be fully healthy before they run him back out there with the torn PCL. So from that perspective, when you get to the postseason, you see these dudes again. Evan Williams should be healthy and ready to go at that point. Jaire better be ready to go at that point and playing corner, which now allows you to do other things if you're Jeff Halfley going into that game. I could be wrong. But if Jeff Halfley's being honest, I think you call the game differently if Jaire's on the field versus when Jaire's not on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Guaranteed. Why wouldn't it
be? You could take more chances.
Even when Evan Williams gets injured, right? The game plan changes when Evan Williams isn't on the field.
Yes.
When Javon Bullard isn't on the field. It's no different when one of the top corners in the league goes down.
Yep, I totally agree. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Cameron, West Allis, you're up on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on The Fan. What's up, Cameron?
What's going on, y'all? Man, this was heartbreaking because we had them. We had them. The defense could not get off the field.
Especially on third down. I mean, Tommy read that stat earlier. They were awful on third down.
They were awful, especially on fourth down.
Yep.
The long drive that killed us. And it's a moral victory, yeah, but this... It sucks because Dan Campbell knew what Green Bay had. He knew his defense was depleted too, and he couldn't stop Green Bay. So he had no choice to go on fourth down. So he rolled the dice.
Yep.
He rolled the dice. But Sparky, I'd like to say something. What's up with these referees, man?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know? But you agree, though. It felt like the whistle was not going in favor of the Packers tonight.
Because they called a play on Watkins. Okay. You want to call that. But with St. Brown, just push what's-the-name.
Sure did.
And they don't say nothing. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. And then Jordan Love in the first quarter get smacked right aside the head. I'm like, wait a minute.
Nothing called for that either. Yep.
Nothing called. So it was just very frustrating tonight. But I do tip my hat off to Green Bay the way to fight back. And but the defense got to shore up because they try to bully Green Bay tonight.
They sure did. No question about it. And the Packers were giving some good hits, though, too. I mean, it was a hard-hitting game, I think, from both sides tonight.
Yeah, but I think Green Bay defense was on the field too long. It was too long because it was long drive, Sparky. Added on with the fourth down, going for the fourth down, it was long drive.
Time of possession in this game tonight. 36 minutes and 6 seconds for the Lions, 23 minutes and 54 seconds for the Packers. Very hard to win a game when you're not on the field as much.
When you're not on the field.
Yep.
And we still had a chance. And that's the thing, like you said, Sparky, like you said in the beginning, through all that, Green Bay still had a chance.
Still had a chance at the end. Yep, no matter everything that happened, you still had a chance.
They still had a chance. So like you said, I'm very pumped for this team. We just need everybody healthy. That's it.
That's it. Cameron, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You can jump aboard as well. Nicolay Law, Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Now, when you look at these numbers, as we were looking at before, we didn't get a chance to get inside the defensive numbers or talk about the defensive side of the ball in a lengthy conversation. So let's get to it.
All about that nasty D. They all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, let's look at the defensive numbers, and we'll get the defensive play of the game from Tommy Wirtz as well. For the Green Bay Packers tonight, Isaiah McDuffie was everywhere. Dude, he came on that one blitz and absolutely blew up a running back in the first half. Then, later in the game, he came on the blitz, and I think it was Gibbs, upended him. He went head over heels, landed, got up, and still got to Goff just after he threw the football at that play. McDuffie was everywhere in this football game. 15 tackles, 4 solo tackles for him. 10 for Quay Walker, 6 solo, and a tackle for loss. Keyshawn Nixon, 10 total tackles, 3 solo, 2 passes defended, of course, had the pick. Kenny Clark, 8 tackles, 5 solo, and a tackle for a loss. Xavier McKinney with 7 tackles as well. Devontae Wyatt with four, including a quarterback hit. Colby Wooden had a big tackle for a loss. He really, big 96, man. He really, from game to game, he'll give you one or two where you're like, oh, yeah, Colby Wooden. I forgot he was on the team. But he's there. Rashawn Gary had a sack and a tackle for loss. Two quarterback hits in this one for him. Carrington Valentine had a pass breakup, too. So I think there are some good things on the defensive side of the football, even though they did give up 34 points. What say you for defensive play of the game, Tommy Wirtz?
Defensive play of the game today, I think there's a couple nominations. You know, the sack was a big one today, the turnover on downs, but you got to give it to this secondary and Keyshawn Nixon today getting the first interception from a cornerback not named Jair Alexander this season.
Second and 14. The fires, it's intercepted. Nixon with the pick. And down the sideline he goes. Keyshawn Nixon with the interception. And Goff, who rarely throws a pick. In fact, in eight of the last nine games, he has thrown none. In one game, he threw five and still won the game. Gets picked off here.
It was a turning point in the game, obviously, too, that was really big. The Packers were able to go down, score, take their first lead of the game during that offensive possession. And you got to give him some credit because Jair wasn't there, and they finally found a way to get an interception with a corner this year.
Highlight courtesy of Amazon Prime and Fox 6. Are you going to give somebody else credit?
Who do you want me to give credit?
Play it again.
Second and 14.
Don't say Al Michaels.
The fires, it's intercepted.
Intercepted.
Oh, okay.
What do you want, man? Pick. That's it. He has all kinds of emotion.
He said
intercepted.
No.
See, you can't even give the man credit when he does show emotion.
Fine. I'll be crazy takes for you. Al Michaels sucks.
Oh,
all right, there you go.
No.
There's your crazy take for the day.
No.
Boo.
No.
Boo.
Don't boo a legend like that, man.
I can boo
horrible.
The legend now.
Horrible.
He's not in his prime.
Right there.
He's not in his prime.
Okay, fine. Maybe he's not in his prime. I'm not going to argue that, but he doesn't suck.
Stinks.
No.
34-31, Lions over the Green Bay Packers. And again, talking about the defensive side of the football, McDuffie obviously stands out. You picked that as your defensive play of the game. If I was picking one, it would be this.
Three out of three. Can they make it four out of four? Or do they give it to Green Bay in great position? To the outside, turns it back. No, Green Bay stuffs him. Gibbs taken down, and the Packers are going to get it at about the 30-yard line.
And that was our guy, Quay Walker, who now, what, 2-3 weeks in a row now, is starting to make some plays, Tommy Wirtz.
He definitely is.
You were rolling your eyes the whole time I was saying that.
He definitely is. First of all, he's definitely not the best linebacker over this stretch.
Absolutely. Right.
Isaiah McDuffie is on another level right now.
Agreed.
And then Quay Walker also was prime vintage Quay Walker with a stupid penalty today. Which...
Oh, the shove. There's no way. Hold on a second. You're telling me that dude took a 6'9" cat, took him off of his feet by himself with that shove? Get out of here. There's no way.
The RAS score would say that's easy for Quay Walker. That's why they drafted him.
That 6'9" dude looked like he was taking a backflop into a swimming pool on
I
that
don't
one.
Care, Sparky.
That
know
horrible.
The game. Know the game, Quay.
That was horrible. That was that dude sold that hard.
If he caught the interception last week, I'm not mad about it this week. I'm mad about it this week. How about that?
That's fine. I'm just saying, there's no way he took that dude off his feet at 6'9".
I'll take this Quay Walker over the first, over the last, 10 games before it.
Sure.
Absolutely.
He's making progress. He's getting better.
I thought there was no way he was going to get in. We do have a text here from Nate in North Milwaukee. Eric Stokes should be cut tomorrow. Oh. He is a waste of a roster spot. At this point, Kalen King can't do any worse than him, and the fact that they keep putting him on the field is embarrassing.
I don't do that. Don't wish for something you don't know what's going to happen. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I think Eric Stokes is good. I don't think he's good necessarily. But if you put King out there, you are going to risk giving up some plays. Do you know why that is? Because he gambles a lot.
So, yes, he may be able to create more turnovers than Soaks. He might be able to be that guy that gets a couple interceptions here in the second half for sure. But this whole idea of not wanting to give up the big play, which they have not pretty much consistently all year. Watson here, a couple weeks in a row, over 100 yards. They have the Packers' defense, for the most part, if you're going to get 100 yards, it's going to be on like 10 catches because they're not giving up big plays. Watson got over 100 yards on 4 catches today because he had another catch over 50 yards.
Did you see the stats or hear about it on Pack-A-Day on Wednesday this week that Andy Herman kind of got on his pedestal to he doesn't like to think that he's going off on Eric Stokes, but he went off on Eric Stokes. I have the stats here, right here. I pulled them up from Wednesday's show. 999 snaps. This is before going into today. He has no interceptions and no pass breakups in over 999 snaps.
Horrible.
He has 3 penalties, 6 touchdowns allowed. His passer ratings by the year, it's the best it's ever been this year, Sparky, at 106.3. Oh. Last year, it was 152.9, which I didn't even know that was possible. And in 2022, 125.8.
Well, he's getting better then.
He's getting a lot better.
What's the issue? He's improved greatly.
He's improved by almost 50 points.
That's
damn
good.
Yeah, it's also almost the exact same passer rating Jordan Love had today, who you thought had a great game.
I don't know if I'd say he had a great game.
You thought he was fine.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. Okay, yeah. He didn't play well in the first half. Like I said, he missed Kraft. But he didn't have horrible bad decisions where he turned over the ball a couple times. There were 2 things we talked about going into this game. One, don't make any stupid penalties. And I'll give LaFleur credit, no neutral zone infractions that I'm aware of in today's game. And that was something he was all hot about after last week's game, right? There wasn't any, correct, Tommy Wirtz? No neutral zone infractions?
No, I didn't see anything like that. Right. No.
So LaFleur said that's got to stop. So that stopped. False starts? I don't believe we had any false starts. Right?
No, I didn't see anything, yeah.
So that got cleaned up. He fixed that, too. So those are the 2 penalties. Those 2 have been driving us nuts all year with this team. Both of those did not occur. Jordan Love's decision-making also has been an issue throughout the course of the year. Really didn't make any horrible decisions. So from that aspect, that was a positive, too. Again, you know, y'all can be mad if you want to be. Go right ahead. I'm just telling you. It's just not end-of-the-world stuff here tonight. Even though they lost, I just don't think it's as big of a deal. Dream big. Tweets at the Fan Milwaukee. Early exit from the playoffs. Love still not looking poised back there. Defense is just a bunch of guys. No leader, no big play guy, a la Reggie White, Clay Matthews, or Charles Woodson. Dude, you literally named 2 Hall of Famers between Reggie White and Charles Woodson. I agree. There are no Hall of Famers on this defense. Yes, sure, I'm with you. A lot of their defense is played like Tarzan, but played like Jane. Okay, so let's explore that for a second. You're paying Rashawn Gary a lot of money. Has he lived up to the hype this year? No. You're paying Jaire Alexander a lot of money. Has he lived up to the hype since he signed the contract? No, because he can't stay healthy enough to be on the football field. Now, is that Jaire's fault? Is it bad luck? Is it the training staff's fault? Watch Eric can't stay on the field. But is he living up to the contract? No, because he can't stay healthy and he can't stay on the field. Kenny Clark is the other guy that they're paying significant money to at this point. He hasn't been anywhere the first half of the year. And now here in the last couple of weeks, you're starting to see Kenny Clark a little bit more active, stopping on the run, get a little bit of pressure here and there. He's starting to come back around again. But the first half of the year, no, he wasn't worth the money either. Xavier McKinney, you're paying? He is worth the money after getting off to that hot start. Now, he's only got, what, 1 interception maybe in the last 4 weeks?
Yeah,
something
but there,
like that?
We talked about there's no big plays on this team. His job is to prevent big plays. They don't give up big plays.
None.
That is that comment, I understand the names you're naming all have prolonged success. But Xavier McKinney is this team's playmaker on defense. He absolutely is. He's a guy who
is... But his point of, Tarzan versus Jane, you are paying a lot of money to Rashawn Gary, you are paying a lot of money to Kenny Clark, and you are paying a lot of money to Jaire Alexander, and I think you can justify all 3 not doing what you thought they were going to do when you gave them the contract.
I would say that edge rushers have gotten a lot better the last 3 weeks, too. Van Ness is making some plays now. I mean,
he walked off at 1.2 during the game.
Yeah, he came back after it, though. Gary's making some plays. Fine. Kenny Clark getting in there. Was it Wooden or Wyatt that broke through on the almost handoff that went for 20 yards?
Carl Brooks.
But it was Brooks. You're right. Sorry. So Carl Brooks, he makes his plays every once in a while. I would argue that really the problem that the defense has seen over the last 3 weeks is the secondary has not been as good, and it's because Jair has not been playing.
Exactly. They're going to have to draft corners. We've talked about this, but they have to draft cornerbacks. And it doesn't appear to me right now that this is a deep corner class as far as what we're talking about in the first round. So it'll be interesting to see if they move up to try and get a corner or what they do. And the draft's in Green Bay, so that adds to the drama as well. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer here. Packers lose 34-31. We'll come back on the other side. We'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky here. 34-31, Packers lose on a game-winning field goal by Mr. Bates of the Lions at the very end as time expired. And the Packers now 9-4. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass, as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. MVP of the game. Yes, we do MVPs even when they lose. I'll start if y'all don't mind. Isaiah McDuffie. That's my MVP of the game. Screw the offense and everything that. I mean, you can go Josh Jacobs, sure. There's no way Christian Watson gets it with a fumble. I don't care if he had over 100 yards or not. So he's not in the running as far as I'm concerned. So on offense, it's Josh Jacobs. That's your pick. That's all you get. I don't think there's anybody else. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Nixon had a pick. Right? I don't know. To me, it's Isaiah McDuffie. That's my MVP. Who you got, Tommy Wirtz?
It's a great answer.
Thank you. You can use the same one. You don't have to pick somebody different.
Yeah, let's go with McDuffie. You know what, though? Season
odds
MVP,
are he won't get this the rest
season
of the
MVP, just like, thank you so much. I have to say it every week. Brandon McManus, gosh, it's so awesome to have you on the team. It's so awesome. Just never a doubt on anything.
No, I don't think about it.
And it's you don't have to think about it. Yep. You wish that he got another chance at the end of the game. They just ran out of time. But McDuffie was all over the field today. He is a stud. He's a stud. And I was on his head very early in the season, too, because of the Halfley Boston College love he had for him.
He's undersized.
But he figured it out. He's figured it out. Yeah. The play today where he gets cut blocked, lands on his head, and he's still almost able. That was the same push-off play that Amon-Ra St. Brown had, but that's one of the most athletic things I've ever seen. And we had Tucker Kraft do the kick-up today, too.
The backflip, backspring, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah,
I still thought that McDuffie play was insanely athletic.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So, okay, we agree. McDuffie is your MVP. I really don't want to play this LaFleur presser, even though this is something we do after every game. He just irritates me almost every time I play him.
Over very, under on 1.5 stoppages.
Very rarely do I walk away from one of these things going, okay, yeah, he was pretty good today. This should be interesting. All right, here's Matt LaFleur. I'm going to stop it right here. They're going to have to, well, depending on how this all shakes, there's a good chance that they might go there in the second round, right? So you play your first game in the wild card round, and then you may end up in Detroit, possibly in the second round, if this all plays out correctly. I'm good with that. Let's go.
Yep.
Let's face them off of a bye week. I'm all about facing them off of a bye week. I'm more than happy with that. Sometimes you play well off of a bye week. A lot of times you're rusty, and it takes you a little while to get your mojo going off of a bye week. I'm good. So if that's how this ends up, they have to face the Detroit Lions again in Detroit. You all sit home, watch. We'll play, get another win, continue to build momentum, keep our rhythm going, and then we'll come to Detroit and smack you in the mouth and win a football game.
Yeah, I think here's another one crazy for you today. I'll say it, but I mean, welcome to the Super Bowl conversation, Green Bay Packers, today.
No chance. Dan Orlovsky was on ESPN. Again, love Dan Orlovsky, hate the take, saying it was pretty much a must-win for the Packers to be in that conversation.
That's what he was saying. He was saying that people were saying that they were going to be in the Super Bowl and Jordan Love was the MVP. I hadn't heard anybody talk about Jordan Love being an MVP player prior to the year. I didn't see anybody saying Jordan Love was the MVP. So I don't even know where Orlovsky pulled that one out of. The Super Bowl conversation, sure, there were a few people that picked him to go to the Super Bowl, but the large majority of people had the Detroit Lions going to the Super Bowl far more than anybody had the Packers going to the Super Bowl prior to the season starting.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. But I think today, with the competitive game that we saw from the Packers today, they ran out of time. They didn't have a good start to this game. They can play with Detroit, and Detroit is the bar right now.
Yes.
So I think today is a very fine game to say, welcome to being officially in the Super Bowl conversation. You think the Packers can win the Super Bowl?
Yes. I don't think there's anybody.
Not that they will.
I don't think there's. I don't think anybody in the AFC can beat Detroit. And I don't know if anybody in the AFC will beat Green Bay if they get there.
Right. I asked Rami Makhlouf when we had him on Wisconsin Sports Weekend, would you take the NFC North against the field?
We played that back on Wisconsin Sports Daily this week.
And he loves it. He loves that take.
Yep.
The Packers absolutely earned that take.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I totally agree with. The other thing is, again, the AFC doesn't appear to be all that great this year. And not saying that there's not been great coaching jobs, because we've talked about this too on the afternoon show. Mike Tomlin should be coach of the year, without question. Harbaugh should be in that conversation for coach of the year too. And the NFC, O'Connell in Minnesota should be in that conversation. There's no way Dan Campbell should be the favorite at BetMGM right now. That's stupid. I don't understand that at all.
He doesn't even coach.
He shouldn't be in the... Well, even with that, they were the favorite to begin with. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. Like, he hasn't done anything special in my mind. He should have won it last year or 2 years ago. But he shouldn't be in the conversation this year. No way. That should be Mike Tomlin's award easily going away. And then O'Connell and Harbaugh behind him. Sean Payton in Denver deserves a lot of love for what he's done with Bo Nix. Like, there's guys doing a way better job, in my opinion, than the guy that was supposed to be the best team being the best team at this point. All right, moving on. More Matt LaFleur from after a Packers 34-31 loss. Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express here on The Fan. All right, let's stop it there. That's enough. Tommy Wirtz, you found a graphic that you texted to me. Tell everybody what the graphic says about Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Yes, so this is a pretty crazy stat here. Lions went 6-for-7 on fourth down this year against the Packers in two games. Four times they scored a touchdown on fourth down as well. That obviously they've stopped them once today, and that was what led to Green Bay's touchdown. Right. But
so they were 6-for-6 at that point.
Yes.
No wonder Campbell felt overly confident about doing that at his own 30.
Or 5-for-5, because the last one was the last.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah, so they were 5-for-5.
Yes,
but he hadn't been stopped to that point.
Never got stopped.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Also unbelievable is the great career opportunity waiting for you at Young Express. They're looking for full-time independent contractors. You're going to drive for a living. Local driver. So within 250 miles of Milwaukee, you're literally going to be driving your cargo van if you have one, Sprinter van if you have one of those. It's going to be your own vehicles, right? 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you, so all you have to do is drive from point A to point B. Then the 24/7 dispatch team will tell you where to go next to pick up whatever freight is needed to be picked up in whatever city it is and whatever business it's at. They have over 700 direct customers, extremely dedicated, take it very personal to keep drivers moving. If you're looking for that next career, maybe you're just recently retired and looking for something else to do in this next phase of your life, perfect. Maybe you're younger and can't figure out yet what you want to do. In the meantime, this is it. This is perfect. Maybe you end up doing this for your career going forward. Don't have anybody yelling at you all the time like I yell at Tommy and Charlie. You don't got to deal with that. All you got to do is turn up the radio to The Fan and listen to the Pack-A-Day radio show 8 to 9 every day with Andy Herman. Listen to Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder Nellis from 9 to 11. Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's from 2 to 5 every day. That's it. We'll keep you entertained and make the day go even quicker for you as you're driving around. Check them out today. Join the Young Express team. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express, success drives them. It is the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express. Packers come up on the losing end 34-31. We'll come back. We'll hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What play or plays changed today's game? It's time for the Turning Point of the Game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Well, we can look at a number of plays here for Turning Point of the Game as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Is it the non-call on the shove-off by the Lions there, Amaron St. Brown? Is it that play that is the turning point of the game? That if that goes differently? Is it Mr. Goff falling down, giving the ball on a big-time fourth down play there at the end that allowed them to kick a field goal when they were going for it? And if he doesn't get that handoff handed off and he ends up not getting that ball exchange, Packers get the ball with time to possibly go get a field goal themselves to win the game. What's the turning point of the game for you, Tommy Wirtz?
Yeah, that call, I think that's a bang-bang call. I mean, obviously it could go either way, but it's kind of hard to tell a receiver not to run into a guy if a guy puts him into him. So, I don't know. I don't really have too many comments on that.
That courtesy of Fox 6 postgame with Josh Jacobs. The more I'm into it, man, that screen call on Christian Watson really is irking me. And I don't know if it's
a pick play, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a turning point necessarily, but they obviously only get 3 instead of 7 on that drive. And once I heard that and we wanted to hear what player plays makes the difference, that's a huge difference in this game. And I don't think the game, I don't really want to say the refs screwed him in this game because I don't believe that.
Well,
but
it was one-sided.
That
right?
was a tough play for Green Bay.
Yeah, it felt one-sided. It definitely felt one-sided in this game. And I don't think Packer fans are out of line for feeling like it was one-sided in this game either. Like, I was just watching a play here on Twitter. At one point, LaFleur was losing his mind late in the game. I was like, what is he yelling about? Like, they were short of the first down. And it was because McDuffie was going to cover the running back in the flat, and I think it was LaPorta just absolutely drilled him 5-6 yards off the line of scrimmage. He had to fight off him in order to get to the running back, and that's why the guy was so wide open out in the flat. And nothing was called. There was no flag. There was no nothing. That came after the Watson play that Tommy was talking about later in the quarter. Good God. All right, here's Jordan Love talking after the game. All right, there is Jordan Love talking after the Packers lose 34-31 to the Detroit Lions. So that puts a fork in their chances, obviously, of winning this division. That's done. So now we're talking about wild card chances, Tommy Wirtz, kind of going forward. And that does not bother me at all. I think you're more than capable with this team of getting to a Super Bowl from a wild card slot.
Yeah, I mean, they were going to have to win. They were going to have a better record than Philly, too. They lost that head-to-head earlier
Detroit's
in the year.
Detroit's got what, Buffalo next week?
Yeah, so Detroit's schedule's pretty brutal at the end.
Yeah, it's not like they got a bunch of cupcakes here.
And same with Minnesota. Minnesota's got to play Detroit still, and they have a tough schedule, so it's definitely still possible to get up to that 5 seed. I don't know, because let's just say that you get the 6 seed, right? That's where they would be slotted right now. That's Detroit's second round, probably right there, because then otherwise the 7 seed has to win the game.
Yep.
And you're going to have to go right back here. Matt LaFleur says it in his presser, you're going to have to earn the right to come back here. He thinks they got a good enough football team to do it. I think they do, too. I will say that I don't know what early exit means when we brought that up last segment. Is early exit round one, like you don't want a playoff game?
Yes.
Is early exit the divisional?
I think it's round one.
I don't see this team losing. I think they win a playoff game.
Like last year.
This is a team. This team can absolutely should win a playoff game. And you run into Detroit again, it would be really alarming if you lose 3 times in a year to Detroit. That would be another situation right there.
And you should have Jair back, which should make a difference.
I'm feeling a lot better about this Packers team being 9-4 right now. You know, obviously, if they get the win today and they're 10-3, that would be awesome too, but we'll see.
And we will find out. That'll do it for the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Packers lose 34-31. Don't forget Pack-A-Day Radio tomorrow morning starting at 8 with Andy Herman. Mason Crosby Show 9-11. Enjoy the rest of your night. It has been the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Have a good night, y'all.